This is the Sunday Catholic Word, a production of Catholic Answers, the only podcast to look at the Sunday Mass readings from an apologetics perspective.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Sunday Catholic Word, a podcast where we reflect on the upcoming Sunday Mass readings and pick out the details that are relevant for explaining and defending our Catholic faith. I'm Dr. Carlo Broussard, staff apologist and speaker for Catholic Answers and the host for this podcast. In this episode, we're going to focus on six details that relate to apologetical conversations found in the Mass readings for this upcoming 32nd Sunday of Ordinary Time, Year B. Four of the six details come from the second reading, which is taken from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 24 through 28. The topics that come to the fore are the sacrifice of the Mass, the scope of Jesus' atoning sacrifice, purgatory, and Mary's sinlessness. The last two of the six details come from the long version of the Gospel reading, taken from Mark chapter 12, verses 38 through 44. The related apologetical topics are Catholic liturgical and devotional prayers and titles of honor among the clergy. So let's get started with the second reading, again taken from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 24 through 28. Here's where the author writes, "Christ didn't enter into a sanctuary made by hands, a copy of the true one, but heaven itself, that he might now appear before God on our behalf. Not that he might offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters each year into the sanctuary with blood that is not his own. If that were so, he would have had to suffer repeatedly from the foundation of the world. But now, once for all, he has appeared at the end of the ages to take away sin by his sacrifice. Just as it is appointed that human beings die once, and after this the judgment, so also Christ, offered once to take away the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to take away sin, but to bring salvation to those who eagerly await him." The first detail, or I suppose set of details, that I want to highlight is the author's teaching that Christ has entered the heavenly sanctuary and appears before God on our behalf to take away sin by his sacrifice. This continues the theme of Christ's heavenly sacrifice, and by way of extension, the sacrifice of the Mass, that's been running throughout the second reading for the past several weeks at Mass. Some Christians might read this passage and think the author is simply referring to Christ exercising his priestly ministry by offering himself on the cross on Calvary 2,000 years ago. But a closer reading suggests otherwise. It's true that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross 2,000 years ago takes away sin. But for the author of Hebrews, that single sacrifice is not confined or restricted to that single historical moment in time. Rather, it transcends time and is made present in the heavenly sanctuary. Notice the author says that Christ has entered the heavenly sanctuary to appear to God on our behalf as our heavenly high priest. Given what the same author says in chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, Jesus must have a gift to offer as our heavenly high priest, since there he writes that it's appointed for every high priest to have a gift to offer. So that raises the question, which sacrifice could he possibly be offering? For the author of Hebrews, it's Jesus' own blood. The key lies in the contrast between what Christ has done with what the high priest would do yearly in the earthly sanctuary. The earthly ministry involved the high priest taking blood that is not his own, the blood of an animal, into the earthly sanctuary and appearing before the presence of God on behalf of God's people to atone for their sins. The author of Hebrews draws a contrast between that high priest's ministry in the earthly sanctuary and Christ's high priestly ministry in the heavenly sanctuary. The implication is that Christ takes his own blood into the heavenly sanctuary and makes it present before the Father for the atonement of sins. And this is done once for all with no need to repeat it. But surely this offering of his blood is not a new offering distinct from Calvary. It must be the same single sacrifice represented to the Father in the heavenly sanctuary, just in an unbloody mode or manner. So the sacrifice that Jesus offers to the Father as our high priest in the heavenly sanctuary is his very own blood, the blood shed on the cross on Calvary. And it's that same offering that we believe we plug into, so to speak, or make contact with every time the Mass is celebrated. The Mass is that very same heavenly offering. Now, the apologetical significance is that this passage from Hebrews provides us a biblical basis for our belief in the Mass as the sacrifice of Christ. And even if someone is not inclined to assent to the claim that the Mass is the sacrifice of Christ, at least they cannot object to the theology, because that very same theology is present here in this passage from Hebrews 9. In other words, if a Christian is going to have a problem with the Catholic understanding of the Mass as the making present or representation of Christ's single sacrifice in an unbloody manner, well, they're going to have a problem with what the author of Hebrews is teaching, since it's the same theology, the making present or representation of Christ's single sacrifice in an unbloody manner. The next detail is the author's statement in verse 27. It's appointed that human beings die once. The apologetical topic that this relates to is purgatory. A key text that's appealed to by Catholics for the doctrine of purgatory is 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 15, where Paul talks about a saved Christian having his works tested by fire on, quote-unquote, the day, which for Paul is the day of judgment. Well, in light of Hebrews 9:27, where it speaks of judgment coming after death, we know that when Paul speaks of the Christian having his works tested by fire on the day of judgment, it's a post-mortem, after-death, state of existence. And if that's the case, well, then Paul is describing a post-mortem state of purification of someone who is saved, since he says if that person has any bad works represented by wood, hay, and stubble, those works will be burned up, the implication being the one being judged will be purified. Now, the third detail in this second reading, worthy of focus, is the statement that Christ was offered once to take away the sins of many. Notice he says many and not all. Does this mean that Christ died only for some and not all? Some Christians say yes. This view is called limited atonement, a belief held by John Calvin. But the verse in question, verse 28, doesn't prove limited atonement. Rather, the author is speaking of those to whom the fruits of Jesus' death are applied individually and have their personal sins taken away, which, according to the author, are many and not all. Theologians call this the subjective dimension of redemption, as opposed to the objective dimension. The objective dimension of redemption is Christ's sacrifice redeeming the entire human race, reuniting the human race as a whole back to God, and thereby making heaven accessible for humans. The subjective dimension refers to the individual humans having their sins taken away by the merits of Jesus' death, being personally appropriated to the individual through faith. That's why it's called the subjective dimension. The merits of Jesus' death are applied to the subject. Jesus' death is for all when redemption is taken objectively, but Jesus' death is only for some when redemption is taken subjectively, since only some, through faith, have the merits of Jesus' death applied to them individually and thereby have their personal sins taken away. Of course, original sin as well, if that's the case. So, we can affirm with the author of Hebrews that Christ's offering only takes away the sins of many, while at the same time affirming that Christ's sacrifice was offered for all human beings, not just for some. A fourth detail in this second reading that has apologetical significance is the author's statement, "It is appointed that human beings die once." This text comes up in discussions about Mary's sinlessness. So notice we're talking about, I suppose I should have said just a single detail with two apologetical implications here. So I'm just catching a little mistake there. So we're still focusing on the one detail. It is appointed that human beings die once. The first implication, or the first apologetical significance, was the relation that it has to purgatory, showing that judgment comes after death. A second apologetical implication for this one detail here, it's appointed that human beings die once, is Mary's sinlessness, or at least its application to the discussion about Mary's sinlessness. Protestants often appeal to Romans 3:23 as proof that Mary wasn't sinless, since Paul writes, all have fallen short of the glory of God. On the surface, it seems that Mary would necessarily be included in the all, because all means all, right? But a stock Catholic response is that this isn't necessarily so, since there can be exceptions to the general statements in the Bible. And here's where Hebrews 9:27 comes into play. The author says all human beings die once. But we know there are some exceptions. For example, Lazarus was raised from the dead and would have had to die again. Those raised from the dead at Christ's death would have had to die again as well. Enoch and Elijah didn't even die. So there are exceptions to the phrase, it is appointed for human beings to die once. There are exceptions to some dying, and there are exceptions to some dying once. Now, if there can be exceptions to the general rule that all human beings die once, then there can be exceptions to the general rule that all have fallen short of God's glory through personal sin. This doesn't prove that Mary was sinless, but it does diffuse the challenge from Romans 3:23. You cannot conclude Mary isn't sinless based on the premise that Paul says all have fallen short, since there might be and possibly could be exceptions. Or there are exceptions, and Mary could be one of those exceptions to the general rule. Okay, so let's now turn to the gospel reading, again, taken from Mark 12, 38 through 44. I'm only going to highlight two details from the first part of the gospel, particularly verses 38 through 39. Here's what Mark records. Beware of the scribes who like to go around in long robes and accept greetings in the marketplaces, seats of honor in synagogues, and places of honor at banquets. They devour the houses of widows and as a pretext recite lengthy prayers. They will receive a very severe condemnation. The first question that arises is whether clothing, places, and titles of honor for clergy are bad in and of themselves. Jesus seems to say yes here, offering a severe critique of the scribes who would have been greeted with the titles of rabbi and father, which we know from Matthew 23:6-8. Well, the answer to the question of whether these things of honor for the clergy are bad in and of themselves is no. It's not the badges of honor of themselves that are bad. Rather, it's the disordered attachment to these things that's bad. Notice Jesus says they like to go around in long robes. Matthew 23:6-8 gives a tidbit more information as to their disordered attachment, revealing that they view themselves as superior to other Jews. So that's why in Matthew 23:6-8, Jesus has to affirm their equality, being they are equal to the brethren, because they were thinking they were superior. So it's pride that Jesus is going after here, not the badges of honor themselves. Therefore, this passage can't be used against Catholics who call their bishops Your Excellency and cardinals Your Eminence, nor can it be used against the Catholic practice of clergy wearing different clothing, signifying their honorable office. Now, the next detail is the lengthy prayers bit. Jesus seems to be condemning lengthy prayers, which doesn't bode well for Catholics who have a plethora of lengthy prayers, one of which is the rosary. But this is not the case. Dr. Mary Healy explains in her commentary, the Gospel of Mark, as follows, quote, "In an empty show of piety, and perhaps as a cover for their fraudulent activity, the scribes recite lengthy prayers. The problem is not that the prayers are lengthy per se, but that they are aimed at human beings rather than at God. Like the hypocrites Jesus denounces in Matthew 6:2, the scribes have received their reward in paltry human praise and forfeited a true and eternal reward from God. Instead, they will receive a very severe condemnation or judgment. Jesus' sternest words are for those who abuse religion for personal gain or human praise and who thereby cause the weak to stumble. See Mark 9:42, 11:17, and Luke 16:15, close quote. Again, like with the badges of honor, it's the pride and vanity that Jesus is going after here, not the lengthy prayers themselves. So a Catholic need not fear praying lengthy prayers, assuming their intention is pure. Well, my friends, that brings us to the end of this episode of the Sunday Catholic Word. The readings for this upcoming 32nd Sunday of Ordinary Time, Year B, provide us a plethora of material to reflect upon concerning apologetical discussions. We have the sacrifice of the Mass, the scope of Jesus' atonement, and the objective and subjective dimensions of it, purgatory, Mary's sinlessness, badges of honor for clergy, and lengthy devotional prayers. Several topics that we have the opportunity to talk about, details that are relevant to those discussions. As always, my friends, thank you so much for subscribing to the podcast. Please be sure to tell your friends about it and invite them to subscribe as well at SundayCatholicWord.com or MrSundayPodcast.com, subscribing on whatever podcast platform they use. You might also want to check out the other great podcasts in our Catholic Answers Podcast Network: Trent Horn's The Council of Trent, Joe Heschmeyer's Shameless Popery, and Jimmy Akin's Daily Defense, and Tim Staples' 101 with Tim, all of which can be found at Catholic.com. And one last thing, if you're interested in getting some cool mugs and stickers with my logo, Mr. Sunday Podcast, you can go to shop.catholic.com. Friends, I hope you have a blessed 32nd Sunday of Ordinary Time, Year B. Keep me in prayer. I'll be praying for you. Until next time, God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Sunday Catholic Word. Find more great shows by visiting CatholicAnswersPodcasts.com or just search for Catholic Answers wherever you listen to podcasts.